The world is going through changes. Changes happening at a speed that we have never seen before. This is leading to disruption, chaos, panic, fear, hysteria, and a turbulent economy and marketplace. How do you protect your wealth in a turbulent world? How do you invest for cash flow and alternative assets to escape the rat race in times of uncertainty? How do you decentralize yourself, your family, your community, your business, and your investments to become sovereign and escape the matrix? If you are looking for strategies, tactics, and techniques to escape the rat race and matrix, you are in the right place. My name is MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. There's three shows: Cashflow Ninja, Cashflow Investing Secrets, and Reset Investing Secrets. You can also find books, a newsletter, and a mastermind. You can join all at cashflowninja.com. I've got a fantastic show for you today. I'm joined by Abby Broyles with Legal Sphere. Abby, great to see you and great to have you on the show.
Hey, MC, it's great to see you as well.
So for my listeners and my viewers that's not familiar with you and what you do, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with them?
Yeah, sure. So I'm the founder of Legal Sphere. We are a boutique law firm focused on asset protection and entity structuring. Obviously, we'll get into much more of that later on in our conversation. I did not start my career out as an attorney. I actually spent 10 years on camera as a news anchor. I bounced around the country and a couple of different markets, but landed back in Oklahoma City where I was born and raised, and I was on TV here for the bulk of my career. So somewhere along the line, I decided that, you know, covering trials and covering court cases, that why can't I be a lawyer? That sounds fun. This looks a little more exciting than when I'm, you know, in front of the camera just talking about it. So I actually put myself through law school while I was anchoring the morning news and doing investigative reporting here in Oklahoma City. You know, obviously passed the bar and started my own law practice. So great decision. I love being a lawyer. I love being able to help people. I also was a nominee for United States Senate in 2020, so dabbled in politics for a little while. One thing that I loved about running for office, and there aren't a whole lot of things to love about it, let's be honest about politics these days, but, you know, I really enjoyed talking to small business owners. And, you know, being in Oklahoma, I just felt like I related to so many people because of that entrepreneurial spirit. And so that's really what I wanted to capture when we started Legal Sphere. And I love it. Each and every day I get to talk to people from all walks of life and people who are really wanting to create the lifestyle design they want, because they've worked hard, just like I worked hard to get to where I am. They've done the same thing. And so I think my journey's really helped me kind of come to this crossroads now where I'm able to relate to people just each and every day. And I feel like my work is really rewarding because I've been where you've been.
Yeah. It's a very, very interesting background. So I appreciate you sharing that. There's a lot of overlap too. You're kind of playing detective and you have to pay attention to the details, right? As a journalist, right, and someone in news, and you can translate that then over to the legal world where you are a detective, you are combing through the details and helping folks make sure that they have all their ducks in a row, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you pay a lawyer to think about what could go wrong. And then as a journalist, you cover what went wrong. So it does go hand in hand if you think about it. And yeah, that attention to detail, and everybody has a story. And that's what I learned when I was a journalist is, how do I get to know this person? What story can I tell about them? And it's the same thing when people are making decisions that affect their livelihood, their family. It's, you know, what's your story and how can I help with you, help you with my legal knowledge and expertise? And so, yeah, it's been a neat crossover for sure.
And then of course, go ahead.
I don't miss getting up at 3 a.m. every morning. So that is for sure a nice lifestyle change for myself.
That's right. Nobody ever thinks about that, right? They see the news anchors in the morning, like, you know, doing the morning show, but you're up at 3 a.m. already getting ready, heading off to work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, rewriting scripts, trying to, you know, have that fifth cup of coffee. So you're seemingly chipper to your audience, but not always successful. So super fun career, but obviously so glad to be where I am now.
What are some of the lessons you learned running for office too? Because that is, of course, a completely different world. Politics is blood sport, as they say, a very, very, very tough industry. What were some of the things that you saw during your campaign and running? And what were some of the lessons that you learned?
Yeah, well, you know, I ran for office in 2020. So one of the most challenging times for everyone in the country, obviously, with the pandemic, people making a major, you know, lifestyle changes with their career, homeschooling their kids. I think one of the biggest lessons I learned was we have more in common than we don't. And I think that finding that common ground with people, being able to relate. Now, yeah, you know, my friends talking about, you know, they're trying to finish up some work while they're finishing up homeschool with their kids. And I'm trying to juggle five different things with my campaign. I mean, everyone was trying to just get through that time. And so I really found that was a unique time for us to kind of, I don't know, find things in each other that maybe we didn't see before. It also taught me, obviously, my work ethic meant so much during that time. I started off in TV when I was 20 years old. So I was on air from a very young age and have always worked hard. Running for office, it's tough. You never know what's going to happen day to day. You don't know what's going to be happening in the country, on a campaign trail. So really just that work ethic, being able to get up each and every day and be motivated and believe in myself. I mean, no one is going to run for office for me. I had to do it myself. And so just really focusing in on that kind of inner perseverance I've always had. And that's really what got me through it. And like I said before, just talking about being able to meet so many people, I just learned that there are so many good people out there and hardworking folks who just really want to do the best thing for their family, and, you know, growing wealth and being able to have the lifestyle that they want. Like, that's everywhere. And so that's what's really neat and has translated well, I think, to what I'm doing with Legal Sphere.
Yeah. It, you know, the one thing that's very encouraging for me is there has been, I think it's three guests now on the podcast too, that I've been doing over the past 6 years, that they've all had so much success in their businesses and in their life, building wealth. And then they realize that, you know, this is like, the environment is very, very tough to get to do this. And they actually go and run for office to try and change some things too. So there are a lot, you know, I say to people over and over, there are a lot of really great people that I know personally that have tried to get into politics to run and actually for some changes, because they know exactly what environment to operate in. And I mean, that's part of the world that we live in, not just in the United States, but across the world. Sometimes you have folks making policy that they've never run a small business. They've never operated in a small business. They don't understand what it means and what it is involved making payroll at the end of the month, right? And paying all the bills and running it. So that is very, very encouraging to see. And you're doing great, fantastic work with Legal Sphere. And again, a conversation that we definitely need to have. And it couldn't have come at a better time, our introduction and getting to know you and meet you outside of just our conversation today, is around entity structuring and asset protection. I mean, we live in a very, very litigious society to begin with. And usually when you have economic downturns and the economy is getting worse for the average person, it becomes even more litigious, right? So the importance of it today is just for every single business owner and investor looking to it. I think this is a very, very important part of the conversation that they need to have with professionals, and also what they need to be thinking of, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, real estate is one of the most highly litigated areas of law in the United States. And it's for good reason, because there's a lot of money involved. So, you know, you may think, well, I'm just getting started. Maybe I can do this on my own. Absolutely not. You need to be structured properly from the very beginning, because you just never know. Something may happen on a property that you own. You get sued. It can cause so much havoc in your life. It can wreak havoc, you know, on your marriage because of that stress that that lawsuit is bringing. It can mean you're having to sell your house to pay off the litigation, that you're having to take money from your kids' college fund to pay lawyers. No one needs to be in that situation. So that's why we advise getting structured properly from the get-go.
And then your firm, if you don't mind sharing too, where you guys come into, and this is one of the reasons why I'm very excited to speak with you, is there's a lot of different ways that people can go about getting legal advice, right? But what one thing that I've learned is it's very customizable. There is no one size fits all. So can you explain just how you guys help business owners and investors, you know, across the United States, and exactly what and how you guys do it?
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, and MC, probably you have in your career, maybe starting off because you're a pro now, but you probably went online and Googled how to start an LLC or something like that at some point. Everybody has. You know, for some people, they can go to an online platform that's very cookie cutter, like a LegalZoom or something, and get what they need. But most of the time, we are looking at investors who really need that guidance from the beginning, not just how do I set up an LLC, but it's where do we file it? What are their short-term and long-term goals? What are we going to do to put in place a structure that's going to work not only tomorrow, but next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? So we take more of a holistic approach with our clients. We start off with a free consultation where I do a lot of listening. I know I'm a lawyer and we talk a lot, but on those calls, I do a lot of listening because we really want to get to know our clients and, you know, kind of their hopes and dreams and what they want for their future. Have they been a W-2 employee for years and years and they've saved this money and they want to have real estate investing be kind of like their way out of that 9-to-5 job? So we really want to get to know people on that first call. So that kind of goes to our boutique law firm aspect of things. We do things one-on-one personally with our clients. When you make it an appointment for a consultation with us, 99% of the time, I handle those initial consultations. They'll get to talk directly with me. Anytime a client calls in or schedules an appointment online, they're going to be speaking to an attorney. We're not this big national firm with attorneys all over the country and paralegals and legal assistants and an answering service. I mean, we keep our law firm boutique for a reason because we want to get to know our clients personally so that we're not just a one-time transaction law firm for them, but we are having them as lifelong clients and really helping them through each stage of their life. And, you know, as they grow their investment portfolio, which selfishly is exciting for us because we get to see their success throughout the years, not just that one time. And so that's rewarding. But I think one thing that makes us really unique is just the ability to go online, schedule an appointment. It could be 2 a.m. and something's on your mind. You're wanting to get into a deal. Maybe you have to rush to get something done. You can go online, make an appointment. Hopefully you can get in, you know, on our schedule the next day and we're able to have that one-on-one time. So many of our clients tell us that, you know, they will have a big law firm that, you know, it's great. They feel good about it, but then they have to go online to an online portal, submit a question, and then hopefully get a call back in a week. Well, in real estate, so many times that just won't work because if there's a deal that's hot, you got to scoop it up and you need to be able to talk to your lawyer to get that guidance. And it's that on-demand service that we offer that's different from other firms.
I want to take a moment to share something very important right now. Are you trying to figure out how to protect your savings from the banking collapse, which has already started, and the coming financial crisis? Most banks will fail. Deposits that are not insured by the FDIC will be lost, and there will be bank bail-ins. And this collapse in the banking system will lead to chaos in the financial system. Banks also provide loans to real estate investors. So what do you think is going to happen to lending in the event of a banking and a financial crisis? You can be proactive and position your savings to protect it and also have access to it to use it to buy discounted assets by positioning it in your own banking system through the infinite banking concept strategy. Producers Wealth has put together a presentation at yourownbankingsystem.com where you will learn how to position capital outside of the banking system and the Wall Street casino, just like the ultra wealthy, to protect it and create a pool of tax-free liquid capital to capitalize on the massive opportunity to buy discounted assets, which is coming. You can access the presentation at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. Yeah, I love the boutique touch to it too. Like you said, for it gets you the personalized attention. And especially when you're doing advanced planning too. And I mean, you want to get hold of someone, and I love how you work with your clients. So we have a very similar philosophy. One of my firms, we do the exact same thing. We're a boutique firm. We know our clients, we get to know everything about them, and we were able to help them. And when they're looking for someone to answer a question, you're right there answering it for them, as opposed to just kind of taking a ticket and waiting, you know, weeks or someone to get back to them. So let's start with this. There's a lot of folks that maybe they've already done entity structuring, asset protection, and so forth, or they're looking to get started. What are some of the biggest mistakes and common mistakes that you see people make when they are approaching entity structuring and asset protection?
No, I think one of the biggest mistakes, and I've had clients just recently, we've had to kind of untangle some things for them. They think, well, I have an LLC set up for instance, this one client, his wife's online retail business. And he thought, well, we have an LLC for a business. Why don't we just go ahead and just run this real estate transaction through that? I mean, co-mingling assets is terrible. That's the whole point of us having that layering and structure and keeping things separate, is because you want to keep your assets separate from each other. So reducing liability, everything is going to be protected. So I would say that's a big thing. And people will even do that with real estate. I mean, they may have a rental property, but they want to get into some of these luxury fix and flips that are shorter term deals. And they think, well, I can put them all in the same LLC. We don't advise that either, because I mean, imagine the amount of liability when you have a rental property. Someone gets injured on that property. You don't want all of your other real estate assets tangled up in the same LLC when you have a plaintiff's attorney knocking on your door and want to come after you for all your assets. So that's a big thing, is making sure that clients, even if they already have a structure, that's the first thing we talk about in their initial phone call is, what can we do with what you have now? What do we need to add to it? We're not trying to charge our clients thousands and thousands of dollars for things they don't need. We want to make sure that that structure is specific for them. I had another client recently, and I felt so bad because she told me, well, I wanted to start this LLC and I wanted to do some real estate investing, but gosh, Gabby, I couldn't get an EIN number. And I thought, what do you mean you couldn't get an EIN number? And she said, well, I Googled it and I clicked on this company and they charged me $250 and I haven't gotten it. I said, well, how long ago did you pay this company $250 to get you an EIN? Well, it was about 9 months ago. I just, my head almost exploded. I was like, I can get you an EIN number today for your LLC. So there are just so many scams out there. And unfortunately, it's a lot of, people just trying to get this started, and they don't want to spend a whole lot of money. And that's understandable. But if you're just doing a cookie cutter paperwork online with an online platform, you get scammed by something like that. What a bummer to start your investing career off on that foot. And so I think that's definitely another big mistake, is just going to Google and think that, you can get everything you need right there without being able to talk to someone that you trust and who understands. I mean, this is all I do, so I know the ins and outs of it. I think you told me, MC, offline that whenever you went to LegalZoom one time, did you say that you had a question and you tried to talk to somebody and they were like, I don't know, I'm not a lawyer?
Yes. Yeah. So years ago, there was an entity that I filed, and I'm like, I went in there and it just, they couldn't answer the question because they're not legal professionals. So I'm like, but I just, so yeah, you want to be able to get a hold of someone. And the funny thing is, and I poke fun of myself too. I've probably made so many mistakes. I should probably look at writing a book about all the mistakes that I've made in every single area, so that all of our listeners and viewers don't have to go through the same thing. So if you're listening to this or watching this, you want to be able to talk to someone, to have your questions answered, and someone that's doing this constantly and have their eye on the ball. They are updated on what's going on in the industry, all the changes, because things are changing constantly too. And you want to be able to get your all of your questions answered quickly. What can you say about also, what are some of the mistakes that people have made with like single member LLCs? What are some of the things to be thinking about there?
Yeah. I mean, a big deal that we see is people just going online, kind of trying to research where they should file, and that's where they file it. And sometimes that's okay. But if we're talking about you're wanting to have anonymity, for example, let's say you're a landlord, you have a rental property, and you just go to your local Secretary of State's website and you register your LLC there. You may not live in a state that offers anonymity. And so do you want to know that all your tenants know your name? I mean, most landlords don't want to do that unless you're putting yourself out there and you're managing the property yourself and you don't mind. But just imagine you have an unhappy tenant. Your name is tied to the property. Or you registered your LLC in a state where there's no anonymity. Do you want them going online on social media and trashing you as a horrible landlord and giving bad reviews on Google? I mean, you got to think about things like that, especially if that's something you're focused on. So a lot of people won't file in the right place. There are other things that come to mind as far as, tax implications and, where can I get, the best business benefits. And so that would probably be one of the top mistakes I see people make is they just go register, file it wherever. And it's fine. We can start it over. But why would you want to have to start over when you could do everything right from the very beginning? So that would probably be one of the biggest mistakes I see. I think that the other things with single member LLCs, and it's completely fine to do a single member LLC. You can always change your operating agreement. But I would say that the biggest mistake I see with that is a lot of people aren't taking advantage of some of the tax benefits they can get. When you have a single member LLC and you are using your home office to run that business, like, are you writing that off? Are you thinking about creative things that we help people with, like putting their kids on the payroll for their LLC? Are you thinking about when you go out to dinner with someone and you're talking about bringing them in on an investment deal with you? Are you keeping track of those expenses to write off 50% as a business expense? It's all of those kinds of things where it's not necessarily, in this case, a mistake people make, but when there comes time to do their taxes and they haven't kept up with all these things, that's less money in their bank account and their pockets. So that's something that we just try to fend off from the very beginning. And we always send out newsletters throughout the year with kind of some, tax tips and tricks so that people are making sure they're keeping track of those expenses. I mean, everybody wants to have more money at the end of the day. So why don't we take advantage of all those deductions that we can?
Yes, absolutely. You really piqued my interest there too with exactly where to file, which is a very, very important question to ask. What are some of the things that you can share with folks? I know you mentioned the anonymity that certain states have over others. What are some of the other things to consider, and what are some of the states? And again, everything is, it all depends. There's no one size fit all here. So let me just preface that. But what are some of the more desirable states, for example, to do some filings in versus undesirable?
Yeah, well, you want to think about, or at least as attorneys, we think about our clients not being seen as a deep pocket defendant, meaning we don't want our clients to look like they have all these assets and they are going to be, primed to sue in the case of, where litigation may come up. So when you think of asset protection, there's inside protection and there's outside protection. So inside meaning in your LLC, you hold that real estate. So if something happens to on that property, someone gets injured on that property, that person has to sue the LLC. So that protects you. That's that inside protection. Now, outside, you're outside of the LLC. Let's say someone makes a mistake, personally, or, they are negligent in a car wreck and someone is suing them. You want to think about this because if you are sued, your LLC is still an asset to you. But there are certain states where there are charging order protected states, meaning a court has to authorize a lien on the distributions coming from your LLC. There are only about 5 states that do that. We file most of our LLCs in Nevada or Wyoming for anonymity purposes and also because they are charging order protected states. States like California, for instance, not only are you paying $800 a year for your filing fees, you're also looking at major liability because of the way that it's structured. So you really want to know that just for the purposes of, you know, protecting yourself from that liability. So that's kind of one lane. Taxes and benefits like that are on another. But I think first and foremost, people just want to think about, gosh, this is my livelihood. This is my family. This is my future. You know, where am I going to file this to make sure that I'm completely protected? So we really walk our clients through using those limited states. You know, I live in Oklahoma. We have other benefits of filing here. I file quite a few things here, but, you know, there's certain reasons why we direct clients on a certain path. And again, that's just something you can't readily find on the internet, you know, at 2 a.m. when you're trying to figure out how to do this yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, for example, there's certain types of businesses that you cannot file in other states too, right? For example, certain financial businesses. So you have to file actually where the business is domiciled and where the headquarters and the main office is out of. So there's so many things that people need to take into consideration. Again, it's not a one size fits all scenario at all. And that's why you need to have conversations with people that do this every single day. Another thing that I wanted to share here too, and I'm sure I'm going to scare a ton of people now, but this is good. This is a good conversation to have. I feel like we're providing a ton of value by doing this, and I'm not trying to scare you, but when you set up an LLC and the paperwork is filed, it's signed, that's not where it ends. There is ongoing maintenance with LLCs and having all the proper, you know, members filed annually and the fees and the state fees and all those things. Can you speak to the importance of that? Because a lot of folks, they think that's it. On the front end, they set it up, they sign all the paperwork, it's done, and there's not a lot of ongoing maintenance. How important is that ongoing maintenance? Because essentially, in a suit, people can look at this and say, well, they haven't really done anything. So is this even an active entity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I had a client recently. She set up with an online platform, an LLC, and she thought it was done. You know, she paid the fee. She, you know, thought that she had done everything right. And then when she went online, she was like, well, I don't think this was actually filed and went through. So long story short, I think she had some conversations with some help desk or live chat or whatever it was. But it turns out by the time she came to us to try to use that LLC to use it for some passive real estate investments, we looked it up and it had been dissolved because the things weren't corrected that needed to be corrected. And then she didn't renew it properly. And through no fault of her own, she didn't have someone providing that guidance from the beginning. But what a hassle if you've set up a structure and then it dissolves and you have to reinstate it or start over. So that's something I just dealt with recently. You know, I think that the other thing when it comes to keeping up with all of those renewals and stuff like that, you've got to think about, well, if I have, you know, a rental property in, let's say, in Oklahoma, so you have an LLC maybe for that rental property, but we set you up with a holding LLC company in Wyoming to hold your other, you know, your real estate assets because we want that anonymity. Well, you've got to have a real registered service agent where you're filing those LLCs, because if you don't live there, that's what you have to do. And so we keep up with all of that. We do the registered service agent fees. We keep up with all of that. We do the renewals. And so you're not having to worry about, gosh, my LLC is going to fall apart because I didn't keep track of what date that was due. And so that's, I think, a unique feature that we offer as well, is we don't just give you the documentation and let you go. We keep up with all those dates for you. And so our clients really appreciate that as well, because you know, if a filing fee is due and you don't pay it, you don't want your LLC to go inactive. You may lose that LLC name that you wanted. There's just a whole bunch of ramifications if you aren't keeping up with those things that are due every year.
Yeah. No, that's very, very important. I'm glad you explained that too. So how do one go about setting up this properly, this entity structuring and asset protection? What are some of the things that you can share and things that people need to think about to get this right?
Yeah, well, people need to think about how many members do I want? Do I want to have this LLC as just a single member LLC? Do I want to bring in my spouse? And we do this as a partnership. Do I want to have my single member LLC and then use that to do some arbitrage agreements with my friends and family? And so you've got to think about that, because obviously when tax season rolls around, those K-1s are going to go out to the members of the LLC. So you've got to be thinking about that. You really want to think about where you want to file. Again, there are some situations where we're looking at real estate property where you're physically owning a rental property, and we may need to look at forming an LLC there. But first, why don't we think about your long-term goals and say, let's set up this LLC holding company in Wyoming or Nevada, and then we have you set up to have all those LLCs held there for the next several years. So you're not always having to go to a lawyer and say, well, I think I need to do this. We really look at things from, you know, just a bird's eye view, and then we kind of dive in at some of the details. So you want to think about that. Don't think about just this one transaction you're wanting to do. Think about, where do I want to be in 5 years, 10 years? And that kind of helps us get a better idea of really how to get them set up in the right way from the get-go, so that we aren't untangling things down the road. I think the other thing to really think about is, you know, when it comes to real estate, do you want to have your focus on path real estate investments where, you know, you're doing fix and flips? Do you want to do something where it's an Airbnb? If we're talking about, you know, an Airbnb property, you probably want to do an LLC with a management company to manage the property, and then an LLC for the actual property itself. So there are things like that to think about. And obviously we pepper people with these questions to make sure that we're getting this information out of them. But those are definitely some structural things that you want to think about. But bottom line, we advise our clients to hold their real estate in an LLC. It is the best way to protect yourself. And like I said, there are so many tax benefits of doing an LLC versus just doing it as a sole proprietorship. And so those are things that I would advise clients to think about.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Penumbra Solutions. Life Settlements Investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint followed by institutional investors. If you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements. That's cashflowninja.com/life settlements. The password to access that webinar is Penumbra, all lowercase. And then also the separate LLCs, right? Because I see, there's a lot of talk about series LLCs that was at one stage like a hot thing, but having these things in separate LLCs, separating also the different things that you're involved in, like you were mentioning, some people want to do fix and flip, some people want to do private money lending, some people want to maybe buy short-term rentals, Airbnb, VRBOs in desirable destinations. You have all that, as we mentioned earlier, you can mingle all that. You're just now really setting yourself up for massive failure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Oklahoma, for instance, is a series state. So sure, we can do, you know, a sell for each different property. I'd still recommend, though, having a holding LLC in either Wyoming or Nevada, because then let's say we have this Oklahoma series. If you have a lawsuit coming on one of your properties, we don't want attorneys to be able to do a quick search and figure out where all your assets are in 5 minutes. You still get that anonymity if it's set up first in a holding company in Nevada or Wyoming, for example. And then we can, that can hold that Oklahoma series. So those are always things that we're kind of thinking of. Again, looking full picture, you know, what kind of investments do you want to do? And if you're wanting to stay in one lane, it's a little bit more simple. But if you're wanting to, you know, expand your portfolio and keep reinvesting that money and trying some different things, we really want to think about the structure for, you're always wanting to be prepared for possible litigation. Hate to scare people, but that's what you pay us to do, is to worry for you. And so we're always thinking about, you know, what do we need to do to set this particular client up for the kind of portfolio that they want, so that they're not having to go to court down the road. I don't litigate anymore, and I don't want to. So we try to make sure that our clients aren't back in the courtroom either.
Yeah, if you do it properly, I mean, the drama on the back end, if and when that eventually happens, because let's face it, I mean, if you're doing business and if you're in real estate in the United States, one of the most litigious societies on the face of the planet. I don't know how many lawsuits are filed, but there was some statistic, you know, and what is it? 99% of the statistics are made up, right? But there was some statistic about like the amount of lawsuits that are filed daily. So yeah, I mean, you want to have your ducks in a row so that when that eventually, if and when that happens, that it's protected, number one. It's not going to make it easy for anyone. And it's would seem like a lot of work. And you're going to fend off, you know, a lot of people just by having it protective and making it protected and making it seem like a ton of work just to get to it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think about it from a plaintiff's attorney perspective. They're looking at where can we get the most money out of a settlement? Or if we take this to trial, you know, who's going to have the deepest pockets? We don't want our clients to come across as that deep pocket defendant. So that's why all these things are so important to think about. I mean, if I'm a plaintiff's lawyer and I'm looking at someone has an LLC that's protected, I can't find all their assets with an easy online search, then I'm probably not going to advise that client to really pursue this, take a lower settlement. That's the mindset we want to think about, is the guy on the other side, that plaintiff's attorney who's trying to look at how many zeros they can add to that check at the end of the day.
So a ton of your clients, or most of your clients, are real estate investors, right? And there are all different types of stuff, fix and flips, even private money lenders and so forth, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we love helping investors at any level. And I know MCU have clients all over the map as far as, you know, are they just getting their foot in the door? Are they seasoned pros? And like you, you probably get I get excited about the brand new investors because they're like, they've got this money set aside now. They're wanting to get started. But we also help people with, you know, more sophisticated structuring. Like I was talking about earlier, we're talking about a holding company managing multiple LLCs. So we don't discriminate. Any clients who are eager and excited to jump into this, and we like working with them, we're happy to help them if they are just getting their foot in the door, their very first real estate investment, just need that basic LLC. Or we offer more extensive packages. We're acting more as like a general counsel to clients. So I guess I should mention that a little bit about Legal Sphere, because it is unique that we don't just charge people right and left for each thing that we do for them. We don't normally charge by the hour. We offer specific packages for clients because we know everything that they need if we know what their goals are. So we're not going to try to sell you on some massive package that's very expensive right off the bat. If you just need an LLC formation, we'll do that. And you'll get your attorney consultation that's wrapped up in that. The filing fees, you know, we handle separately, but you're going to be able to take that package and know that you aren't going to have to spend thousands and thousands more dollars with us because we know what you need. And I think that's different with, you know, a lot of other firms is they're always going to charge that billable hour. For some firms, they charge you an upfront fee. There's a large national firm that charges almost $4,000 to get your foot in the door for a membership. And then you pay a monthly fee on top of that. We don't have memberships. We don't have monthly fees. We have these tailored packages that help people, especially when they're getting started, don't have a whole lot of cash to spend on it. But I always remind people, your legal fees are 100% tax deductible. So it pays for itself, and it's going to be worth it at the end of the day.
And what you guys can do as well for investors is build a roadmap eventually too, because you know we've seen investors go, they just get started and what they can accomplish within 12, 18, 24 months, 3 years, it's quite incredible. So you're going to want someone to help you and kind of like build a roadmap into what you're going to grow into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have seen so many clients who are coming out of debt. They're able to use, not just depend on things like, 401k, that sort of a thing, but really think about their future by using this opportunity to start doing some real estate investments. And that's helping them get to their goals sooner. So I can't tell you, I have one client who is just so excited because we put him on a path to where he's probably going to get to retire about 2 years earlier than he had planned. Because if everything works out with the real estate investments and the way it has been working out so far, he's going to be able to do that because he took advantage of, this opportunity, running his LLC and investments like a business. And so, that's great. At the end of the day, you want to do what makes you happy. You don't want to be stuck in a job that, you don't want to be in anymore. So why not take the opportunity to, get serious about this, be a serious investor, run it like a business, and then you can create the lifestyle that you want.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. At The Real Asset Investor, Dave and his team bring their investors high-yield investment opportunities across several asset classes for cash flow, tax impact, and equity growth. He and his team are one of the top five ATM operators in the country, and they have an investment opportunity available to accredited investors right now in the ATM space. To learn more about their ATM funds that produce tax-free cash flow, visit therealassetinvestor.com. That's therealassetinvestor.com. One habit I've observed from wealthy and successful people is they're always studying and learning. What are you studying and learning these days?
Yeah, I read anything I can get my hands on. I think that one thing that is going to be interesting moving forward is really looking at the long-term ramifications of what's happening with people's 401k and retirement accounts right now. We see so many more of our clients coming to us because obviously they aren't happy with what's happening with those. So it's going to be interesting to see how many people shift from that, pulling even money out of regional banks and putting it into things like real estate investments that they're seeing their money really work more for them. So, I'm always following that sort of thing. We're always following what's happening with changes to taxation. And, states are obviously doing things differently all the time. Not every state is uniform when it comes to that, of course. But it really is interesting because it all goes back to our business. Where are we filing our entities? Where are people going to get, the best tax benefits? What are they looking at as far as capital gains? Are they set up properly to be reinvesting that money? So we're always kind of looking at things like that. But me personally, if there's a story about a lawsuit, I'm always interested in the litigation because you always see the funniest ones. I say funny, the most colorful ones covered in the news. And, we just never want our folks to be in that position where they're being hit with that litigation. So I always follow that kind of stuff, especially with real estate. It's very interesting.
Absolutely. Now, we talk a lot about business and investing and cash flow on the show, but one question I always ask our first-time guests is, if you cannot pass on any money to future generations and you are only allowed to pass on three principles and values to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
I think first and foremost, hard work. Working, you can be the smartest person in the room, but if you're not willing to put the work in, you're not going to get to your destination. I remember starting out in TV and I had just turned 20 years old. I was starting my first TV job and I made $19,000 a year. I'm not quite sure how I lived off of that, but at that time I knew if I just kept working hard, I was going to climb the ladder and get where I wanted to be. And eventually I did. It didn't happen overnight, but I had that work ethic. So that's for sure something I would want to pass along. And I would say, stay humble. Everybody comes from it, from whatever beginning they're going to come from. In my case, I grew up in a middle-class family in Oklahoma. My folks are educators and So looking at kind of where I came from and those values, that is what translates to me today as far as, you know, what, how I treat people. Sure, I may be making more money than I've ever made before, but I still think about where can I save some money when I go to the store today, that sort of thing. And I just really think that staying humble is really important. I would say finally, it's just believe in yourself. No one's going to go and invest this money for you and make the decisions that you're wanting to make if you are trying to do this as a business and working your way out of a W-2 job. You've got to believe in yourself. I mentioned that earlier when you asked me questions about when I was running for office. I remember there were so many days I thought, gosh, you know, how can I climb in the polls? What am I going to do? And at the end of the day, no one's going on camera and doing those TV interviews for me. No one's on the phone raising all that money for me. I did it myself. And I think at the end of the day, the person that you can trust the most and the person who's going to make things happen is ultimately yourself. So you got to believe in yourself. And I think that that's incredibly important, especially for our young folks these days. Instilling that confidence in them early is going to set them up for success.
Fantastic. Abby, this has been a blast. Just great to connect again and having a great conversation. Where can folks follow you? Where can they learn everything that you're doing with Legal Sphere? And where can they stay in touch of all of the other many projects that you're involved with?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to our website. It's legalspheregroup.com. There you can make appointments. You can look at the packages that we offer. You can see all the kinds of work that we do. Most importantly, that is the website where you go when you are wanting to reschedule an appointment. If you're already a client, if you want to get on my calendar anytime to have a consultation about what's currently happening. So legalspheregroup.com is always the place to go. For Cashflow Ninja, though, we have set up an email. It's just going to be info@legalspheregroup.com, but we're asking people to put Cashflow Ninja or CFN in the subject line so that we know that these are your audience members, MC. And I know that they're going to be very excellent audience members because you're a pro and they are very dedicated.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show and just sharing your journey and your knowledge and your insights around this very, very important topic. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Thanks so much, MC. It's great to talk with you today.
Thank you to all of our listeners and viewers for spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.